Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Bela Page and Alex Zalbin.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Justin.
What? No, you're
Justin's not here.
That's crazy. You're Pete, and that's our man in the booth, Boothman. And you guys are the audience, and that's a banister, and that's a bar.
Yeah, it is.
And that's how you open a show.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I was away in Disney World for the past week.
Yeah, how was that?
It was fun. There was not a lot of Marvel stuff. I was actually on the lookout for it, but there was only one bus that had some Disney XD stuff, and that was it.
Was it kind of bullshit? Were you like, where's all the Marvel?
Yeah, I walked to Disney World, and I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you, Mickey!
That's all right.
My fucking Marvel stuff.
That's why I'm
you
not
you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I can't
was
go.
Was that too much? That
no,
was a little
no,
too much?
Probably,
no?
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, I walked in and I did it. What? Batman with a grudge? Yeah, no, I kind of was. I was perching on the top of Cinderella's castle at night, mourning my dead parents in Frontierland. So, yeah, all in all, it was a good time.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, how about you? How was your Labor Day?
Well, it was, you know, I mean, somebody had to do the show. What is with the revolving door? Like, either you're here or Justin's not. I mean, what the hell?
Never see us in the same place at the same time.
Weird.
Kind of suspicious.
Yeah. Hey, we should start the show.
We sure should, because we have so many guests on the show tonight,
yeah,
you guys.
One of them
is from the band This Good Robot. The others are the creators behind Amelia Cole and The Unknown World. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Ragosta, Adam P. Nave, and Nick Brokenshire.
Yeah! Come on up, guys. Come on up.
Come on up,
please,
guys.
Yeah, grab the seats.
Don't take
be
your
shy.
Time. Don't take your time. The only thing you don't have on a show is time.
You don't have extra time.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, come on in. Sit down. Now, for those of you guys listening at home, and we'll be playing the full version of this later, but you're listening to This Good Robot's song Super Spy, based on Mac, which of his stories?
It's Red Heine from his Super Spy.
Yeah. You can fade it down, Boothman. That's
all
right.
He was so cool.
It's not that good of a song. Please fade it down.
No, come on.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
No, the song is great.
He was jamming out.
He was. We will play it in full later on in the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So, yeah. Thanks for coming back. Get out of here.
Oh, man.
That was the voice I used in Disney.
By the way, classically trained, you're doing amazing Alex Alvin right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I am a classically trained Alex Alvin.
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration? Why did you decide to do a song about a super spy story?
Well, I'm a huge Matt Kent fan.
Cool.
He's just absolutely brilliant. And I'm sitting there reading Super Spy, and I read Red Heine, and within 10 seconds of finishing that 4-page story, I had already emailed him and wrote a chorus for the song, and I was like, I want to do a video. Like, this is a fucking music video. I can say the fuck word, right?
Sure can.
Yeah, okay, this is 21 and up, motherfuckers. So I wrote the chorus like that night. I emailed him, and he's just been so fucking cool. He's just like, do I have to do anything? We're like, not really. He's like, all right, do whatever you want. But he's been amazing. So
cool. Well, what specifically was it about that story that inspired a song?
I mean, it was just really tragic and it would make a really badass music video. I don't know. Have you read Super Spy?
I've read some of the stuff in Super Spy, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I read it, and the whole time, like from the very beginning, I was thinking that it had to be a music video, that it would just be perfectly told in like 2 to 3 minutes, and you wouldn't have to say a word to do it, you know. And
were there any other Matt Kent stories that you've considered turning into songs?
That was the one that really jumped out to me, but... Mm-hmm. Now that I'm on, you know,
not like his
Matt Kent.
Ultimate Spider-Man Infinite comic or anything like that.
No, I don't think, not yet. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of singing and dancing in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's
well,
just
I'm
like
sure
Spider-Man.
It's on its way.
Oh, you're working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Spider-Man the musical did so well that I was like, you know what? Maybe Matt Kent's Spider-Man the musical will be even better.
Yeah, slightly fewer people breaking their legs.
Yeah.
Just slightly, just like a scotch. What? Were you awing for breaking legs? Or
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Poor actors who are flipping around and breaking their
That's
legs.
That's the life they chose. When you become an actor, people keep telling you to break a leg and then you do eventually.
Wow, that was nice. Yeah, yeah. They do that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Cool. Cheers.
A little Easter egg. Little Easter egg in the song. One of the first lines of the song is, "Has this all been?" Little Easter egg for you Comic Book Club Live fans. I'm actually saying Alex Zalbin.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, that's
You're
a true.
Famous.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and,
famous.
Pete LePage is in the next single.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So look for that.
Cool.
I'm not telling you where it is, though. You got to find that shit.
Oh, okay. That's the Ultimate Spider-Man Infinite Comics song.
Yes, this was a freebie.
Awesome. Right, cool. That's amazing. So let's turn to you guys. You are continuing to work on a book called Amelia Cole and the Unknown World, which is now out in trade form. So, Adam, I think the last time we had you on, this was just launching, right? Or just launched?
Yeah, just about.
Cool. So this went from digital now into print. What has the process been like?
Well, they print it.
Thank you. You're nailing this interview thing. As a
work hard. It's interesting because, you know, coming out in print in trade form instead of single issues for the first time is a little weird for how comics usually work. And, you know, retailers, of course, don't necessarily know who we are yet. But IDW approached us, and they liked the book, and they thought, you know, this is worth some trees.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, yeah, man, it's awesome. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so doing the book, and for both of you, from the art perspective as well, you were creating it for screens, right? And not just for screens, but for iPad and iPhone screens. And now you're taking it and putting it in a pretty standard trade format. Did you need to reformat anything?
Not really. When we originally came up with the story, we didn't know that we were going to be going into digital to start with. So I was personally still working in the normal page format. And then once we realized that we were going to be coming out digital first, then I slightly altered my approach, but not too much. So I didn't, you know, turn it landscape or anything. So it's still laid out roughly as a normal page would work. So there wasn't really any tweaking to do, just resizing. That was it.
Yeah, you say just resizing. We were doing it at a page size slightly different than print. And, you know, IDW is telling us, well, any of your full bleed, you either have to put a border around or mess with all the lettering, because the lettering would fall outside the live area and disappear. So Nick says, oh, not a problem, I got this. And drew out almost every single full bleed page in there to extend them. And we couldn't tell. I actually sent him a panicked email when we were prepping it for print, going, are these the right size? Because all the bleeds are there, and they shouldn't have been. So, you know, not much work.
Yeah, I had to go through every page in the book and find the bits where I needed to, you know, add bits and stuff. So I did do that, but I don't think it was too hard. Not too much to ask.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. If it full bleeds, it full leads. That's been it for me on comic book.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I would say some artists might consider that a lot of work to go back and readjust every page. But
I suppose so, yeah.
Pretty humble guy.
Thank you.
Well, what is your opinion on, from the artist's perspective? Because I think it actually almost affects the art a little more than the writing. Like, I think the writing's a little fluid. Obviously, you have to think about the layout. You have to think about how it's going to play to the reader. But for the artist, what's the difference for you digitally versus print?
The main thing,
which
I think...
Which do you prefer, I guess?
I prefer print.
Yeah?
Because I grew up reading comic books and in print. But the thing about when you're working digitally is that you know that when you create... particularly color-wise, that's what you're going to see on the digital comic. With print, it slightly alters. But we are lucky in the sense that our colors are very bright, you know, and very sort of bright. You know, there's no muted tones in there. It's all, you know, easy to look at colors. So there's not been too much of a leap, I don't think, for me. I can understand why some folks may struggle with the differences because they're dealing with much more subtle colors or darker colors, but we don't have that problem. So it's not been that hard, I don't think.
Do you still do your art physically, or have you done anything in the computer? Have you done
well,
anything with Photoshop?
You don't know this, but yeah, I do this. I do it all.
You
drawn.
Don't actually even draw it. That's what you wanted to tell, right?
My wife draws
news.
It.
This is news.
It's very sweet.
No, I draw it. I draw it normally, you know, pencil on Bristol, ink, blah, blah, blah. But the latest issue that I've just handed in was all done digitally.
Really?
Yeah, I decided to give it a go, and it's fantastic. So no more buying pads of paper. But I don't know. I'm still going to work on it. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
We need the Bristol. What are you doing?
I know. Well, when we came over, because we're going to do Baltimore Con, I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to have to bring some pages to sell, so I mustn't do too much digital artwork. But so what's the question again? I forgot.
I'm sure you answered it, if I remember it.
Yes.
Cool.
Let me ask you something for all three of you. What's your favorite part of the process? Like, is it when you get the idea? Is it when you see, like, the first couple pages and you get to create something? Like, what's your favorite part?
Is it when you rip off Matt Kent? Just
ride those coattails, man. Yeah. Ride those coattails. I think it's the day that you release it and you put it out in the world, because it's kind of scary, but in, like, the best way, you know? Cool. I think that's my favorite part.
Cool.
It used to be plotting. Because it's a big game, you know. You can do anything as long as you're plotting. You don't have to write a page. You don't have any limitations. But it really has become getting those pages back from Nick, because suddenly it's a real thing. You know, these horrible, misguided words that we wrote have become something we can share with somebody else once we rewrite it, so it reads good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For me, it's inking. When you draw, the hard work is penciling and layout. So you draw it, you lay it out, and then you draw it out in pencil, and you work it all out. But then the inking is when it starts to come alive, you know. And so for me, it's inking.
Cool. Yeah. Pete, what about you? What's your favorite part of the artistic process?
You know, it's just getting up, putting on your pants, one leg at a time. That's it. That's
my favorite part of the artistic process is that you manage to wake up every morning.
Yeah, and then put on my pants. Because I'm not artistic unless I have pants on.
Oh, all right. What exactly is your
art? I've actually found the same thing, to be honest. You just feel like a total bum if you're not wearing pants.
Yeah.
Like, you get so much stuff done, but then you feel like you've done nothing because you're not wearing pants.
Yeah, I can't get anything done unless Pete's wearing pants either.
Exactly, yeah.
There you go. That's why you come to Comic Book Club for your tips.
I've actually
had
that conversation before. I'm not even
kidding.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Felt like a failure. And then I put pants on. I was just like, oh, that was the problem.
That's it.
I got it.
When you say pants, you mean trousers, don't you?
Sure, trousers.
Sure,
yes.
Trousers, yeah.
That's a better Nick word. Is yeah. from the UK, in case you got
yes,
to guess.
I am.
How are you enjoying? Is this your first trip to
this
the
This is my first trip to... Oh, really? What am I talking about? No, it's not. It's not my first trip. I came here in 1985.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
When I was 15.
Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing you've done in New York so far? Besides the show.
Eat.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of great food.
Do you like to do that three times a day?
I no.
This is a great show. We're learning to put on your pads, eat.
Well, I'm a big eater. And
nice.
In Britain... I think we're quite. I think we think maybe the war hasn't quite finished, and we ration our food quite a lot. But I don't. I just shovel it all in. And I knew that when I came over here, that wouldn't be the case.
Nice.
And so you know, we went to what was it, Bubba Gump?
Did you really
shoveled shrimp into my gob?
Excellent. Well, that's a classic New York restaurant.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Please, please how did you go to other places?
Yes,
we're
going to go to a fancy place.
Definitely go to other places, but only places that are based on like 20 to 30-year-old movies.
Right. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
How'd you do on the Forrest Gump quiz, by the way? They come around to your table and do a Forrest Gump quiz.
How do you know this?
Because I'm into the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
They didn't ridiculous. Do that with us. That's why we tipped that guy a lot of money, didn't it? They didn't do that. In fact, they gave us the starter and then immediately gave us the main meal so that we didn't have a gap. So
and by main meal, you mean bucket of shrimp.
Yeah, the bucket, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
We had, sorry, does that keep cutting out? Anyway, And we had like this big pile of stuff that we thought, oh, great, fantastic. And then they just arrived with more stuff. So we had tons of food. That's cutting out, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's fine. Here, we're going to trade.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. So what would you say, what is the most important meal for you as a creator? What do you like to eat when you're creating something? What are you like, I got to eat this?
I don't know. I don't usually...
First you put on your pants.
Yeah, I put on my pants. I don't usually eat breakfast. And then if I know I have to sing in a little bit, I usually try not to eat for like an hour or two.
Right.
It's a lot of not eating.
It's a lot of not eating. So, yeah, I guess I just don't eat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Adam, what about you?
I consistently, if I'm working, I forget to eat. I just keep working. And then I look up and I'm like, time to drink.
Coffee. Coffee is the best.
Coffee.
Most important meal.
Coffee. Yeah. That's what I would drink. Coffee.
And Nick, we know for you, is a big bucket of shrimp.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or steak.
Excellent.
Or steak.
Pete, what about you? What do you like to eat?
Anything. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just as long as it's a lot of it.
fun fact about Pete, you didn't know this, they used to call him the human goat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah.
Yep.
Well, there we go. Guys, plug your stuff. Michael, where should people check out your songs?
Okay, Super Spy, we just released for free. Do not fucking pay for Super Spy. It's free on our website, thisgoodrobot.com. And we were so inspired by you guys that we started a free weekly podcast. It comes out every Thursday. It's called This Good Podcast. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud. And we have a comic section. We play songs. We talk about bullshit and basically waste like an hour and a half of your time every week.
Awesome.
Right now we're doing Breaking Bad every week.
Oh, yeah. Cool. What about you guys? Plug Amelia Cole and whatever else you might be working on.
Well, the first volume of Amelia Cole is out from IDW in print right now.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I can't wait to flip through that. It looks beautiful.
It's actually a little almost too packed. There is nothing but art in the book. We might have forgotten to leave, you know, some white space. But there's actually a new issue of Amelia Cole out tomorrow on Comixology.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Issue 10? Yes.
Well timed, sir.
It was a weird week. There's also a new issue of the other book I co-write, Artful Daggers, coming out on Comixology tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
You should go on a show and promote that.
Yeah, it's too bad you're really not should. On the show right now that will probably air tomorrow.
Oh,
in perfect
man.
Time.
That is real bad news. Speaking of bad news, we're going to move to our next section, which we like to call the Stack. All right, guys, in the Stack. What?
Is he working on something else? I mean, we didn't even give him a shit.
Nick, are you working on anything else?
I do a podcast as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Droppings Science. So, Droppings Science.
So, is it about droppings?
Well, we have our gang.
I think it's about science.
We've got two doctors as part of the gang, Sham and Jess, and they bring the science and quite a lot of it. Weirdly, we try to steer towards the droppings side of things. So, poo-based science.
Awesome.
Poo-based science podcast. That's
poo-based science.
Poo-based science.
I'm glad I went back and asked.
There you go.
Can you imagine if we didn't talk about that? The science of taking a dump.
I feel like.
I cannot wait to check out this podcast. I am excited.
Yeah, he is actually excited, just so you know, he's not being totally sarcastic.
Yeah, I am not.
All right, we're going to move on with the Stack. On the Stack, we make picks, comic books that we particularly like, usually stuff that come out this week. Mm-hmm. But because our guests are so awesome this week, we figured we asked them some of the stuff they've been reading that they particularly liked. We'll start with Michael. This is a book that came out this week, Lazarus Number 3.
Yeah, it was a tough choice because we also had the American Vampire Anthology, which was unbelievable, and Mind Management this week, which This Good Robot is on the back cover of.
Whoa!
Yeah, he was nice enough to let us put in a Super Spy ad back there.
Awesome.
He usually doesn't do ads in his work. But anyway, Lazarus was unbelievable. Have you guys read number 3 yet?
One and two.
Yep.
Oh.
We both read one and two.
You can spoil it.
Well, I'm not gonna spoil it, but
you could do this Pete method of spoiling, which is like, well, I'm not gonna spoil it,
but then
except
I'm
I'll
spoil
mention the last
out.
Page.
All right. Let me show you guys the last page of this book real quick. What was really awesome about this issue was we have Lazarus and everything, and it was the first time we ever got to see her interact with another Lazarus. And it was the first time we've ever seen another Lazarus. And it was like the only person we've ever seen her actually be able to relate to. And I've never really read a lot of Greg Rucka.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Well, you should fix that.
I know. Yeah. I am. Well, after three issues of Lazarus, I'm putting him in, like, my top 10, like, favorite writers ever. Like,
yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. It's great. For those of you who haven't been reading Lazarus, by the way, it's sort of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
It reminds me of Game of Thrones.
Thrillery. Yeah, a little bit. There's all these different pockets of civilization between whatever happened. In each pocket of civilization, there's a little bit of this family. We don't know a lot about them. There's a couple of brothers, a couple of sisters. They have very weird relationships with each other, why it reminds you of
that,
Game of Thrones.
And like that whole setting the example in the first issue, where in the waste and all of that stuff, like they call the people who aren't the family the waste. Mm-hmm. So we would all be waste.
And our main character is a Lazarus. We're she goes waste. Around. She does the dirty work for them and can also come back to life.
Yeah, it seemingly can't die.
Yeah, there you go.
So far.
Really cool book.
From what we know. I'm not going to spoil anything. You guys should read this issue.
Oh, she dies in this issue?
She dies at the end.
Forever.
Oh, my God.
Forever, which is her name, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, her name is Forever.
Oh, there we go. Cool. Yeah. What a big twist. Yeah. All right, Adam, let's talk about your book. You have been reading and very much liking Young Avengers from Marvel Comics.
It's one of those books that makes me angry every time I read it. Because it's so good, it just raises the bar for the rest of us.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of not fair. It's like, give us a month to catch up. But every single issue, you know.
I'm like three behind.
Kieran and McKelvey just raised the bar. They're out there. They're doing that kind of classic Marvel teen book, like Power Pack and the old New Mutant stuff. But they've put a distinctive music spin on it. You know, the first issue especially. You can see, like, all of their splash pages are very much timed to music.
Yeah.
And then you slowly realize that all of the other scenes are, too.
Wow.
And you can actually hear the beat if you pay attention to it.
Sure.
And the next issue, they're doing something else. And the issue, they're doing something. And they just keep finding new ground to reinvent what the medium can do.
It was actually the first time I've ever seen somebody use the, social networking really, really well. I mean, it happened a little bit in Animal Man. I liked the Twitter stuff that's going on in that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Instagram pages in, I think it was like issue six, just so much fun to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great book. For those of you who have been reading it, the Young Avengers are kind of on the run throughout the cosmos from this interdimensional entity called Mother, which makes it sound really complicated because really all it's about is them kind of hanging out and being slightly older teenagers with each other. And that's pretty much it. It's almost an anti-adventure comic book with a lot of action. It's cool.
Yeah.
I went to a disco where the DJ was Kieran Gillen.
Yeah?
What?
It was great. A disco. Is that what they're called here, discos?
No. Nope. In the 1970s, yes.
I'm from the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to a disco where
Kieran Gillen... There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
He was the DJ. And as soon as he, it was a room full of geeks, and as soon as he put on War of the Worlds, we got our groove on.
Wow.
Really?
That's a true story.
So he's a writer and a DJ.
Yeah.
God,
he wore a white John Travolta suit.
He did good, though?
Did he really?
It was really good.
That's why you called it a disco.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. He was good. He was a good DJ?
He was brilliant, actually, wasn't he? He was really good.
That's awesome.
Man. Wow.
Oh, man. What a jerk. All right, Nick, let's talk about your pick. You have been reading and loving Hawkeye.
No.
No.
It's a big shocker.
I thought of something else, because everyone loves Hawkeye.
Right.
True.
I just recently bought, this is what I was saying before, I might change it.
Okay.
Sergio Toppi's recounting of the Arabian Nights tales that you can get on Comixology now, and it's really worth doing because it's beautiful. And he recently died, Sergio Toppi. And his artwork is, it's amazing. Just go buy it.
All right.
It's called Sarajazavaz Gaza or something.
Really? Just search for that online and you should be able to find it.
Sarajazavaz.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah,
just put that in your search bar.
Yeah.
Siri, find me Sarajazavaz.
Yeah, so you just get farther away.
That's it.
I found 45 Shiraz Vaz Vaz Vaz. Which one would you like? Cool. Well, we'll definitely check that out if we can find it. My pick, Angel in Faith, number 25 from Dark Horse Comics. I've talked about this title a lot on the show. Pete is nodding his head. It's weird because it looks like no, but his head is actually on the wrong way, so it's actually a yes, which is kind of strange. This is tying up the entire season, series, whatever has been going on. I love this book. Christos Gage has been writing it, writing the heck out of it. I think it's Rebecca Isaacs is doing the work, doing the art, and her art is awesome. I think it's often really hard to do licensed characters and give them their own feeling without it feeling like you're copying some actor's headshot. She's nailed Eliza Dushku, your favorite, Faith. David Boreanaz is Angel. It's a good story about that ties in really well with the themes of the Angel series. They've been fighting, of course, this gigantic apocalypse that threatens to destroy the world. And at the end, the way that they stop it is by appealing to somebody's better nature, by really just sort of talking to him and talking him down from it.
No, that's not what happened. They ripped off a part of him and then put it back inside of his head and he blew up.
No, that's not what... You read this quickly, didn't you?
I read it.
Did you read the whole thing?
Yes.
To the end?
Well, then they started talking, and there was a relationship thing, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, so it has some really good morals to it, really great characterization, leaves it open for another season, which I think is great. This has, to my mind, been better than any of the Buffy books have ever been, and they've been pretty solid and good. This is a series worth reading, not just for Buffy fans, not just for Angel fans, but fans of good comics. Pete.
Yep. All right, so my the different opinion on this one is...
Yeah.
I didn't talk to you before I read it, so I didn't know that, like, artistically it makes more sense when you're saying it, because when I read it, I was like... Why aren't they just drawing it like the character I know they are instead of trying to make it a little different the whole time?
Yeah.
That kind of was annoying to me.
Why didn't they just have...
Yeah, make it look like Angel.
Why wasn't it 24 pages of pictures of Eliza Dushku looking hot?
No.
With no story.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if when you say
it like that... Oh, you wanted 24 pages of David Boreanaz looking hot with no story.
So... I know who Angel is. I know Eliza Dushku. I just thought they would draw it to make it look like them so I could get on board. But instead, it was like them, but a little different. So I was a little confused by that.
I think that's quite common practice when an artist is given likenesses to work with. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of find your own particular take, you know, on that person's face. And I know that I've read a lot of artists that say, you know, they're not necessarily going for the exact likeness, but just enough to let you know.
Right.
Have you done any licensed content?
No, although I do try to insert well-known faces into our book. Which,
oh, do you?
If you flip
in, like, the background and stuff?
Yeah.
It's pretty much every page, and he doesn't tell us. We just find them, or we get mail 3 days later going, did you find this person?
Oh, wow, that's fun.
How many times have you gotten sued?
Zero until tomorrow.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, until this goes out.
Cool.
Damn. Great.
It's tough because you can tell it was a wrapping up issue, so there was a lot of talking, a lot of, like, there was the breakup. And the funny part to me was, like, there was a breakup in front of somebody who looked like they were in a coma. And I was like, well, I guess if you're going to break up with somebody, instead of having it be with somebody, you go in front of somebody who's in a coma so they don't have to listen to it. But I wished I was that person in the coma so I wouldn't have to listen to them just being like, I love you so much, but I don't want to end this, but you're everything to me. Why don't you go on with your life? But we'll be separate, but we'll still be friends, and I love you.
I want to go back to the thing where you said it would be less awkward to break up with somebody in front of somebody in a coma.
In a coma, yeah.
Why is that less awkward?
Because, you know, because if they were talking in front of somebody who's working in the hospital, they would just be looking at them.
Why,
like,
do you have to talk in front of anybody?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why talk in front of somebody who's having a coma?
Okay, but all right, I'm going to give you three options. That two of which are crazy and you give it me. One is you have to break up with somebody who's working in a hospital. The second one is somebody break up in front of somebody in a coma. And the third is you just break up somewhere. Just where there's nobody, like your apartment or something. Is that an option in your world?
Yeah, why not do it somewhere where it's, you know, other people don't have to see
through. Is the coma the best option, though?
No. Oh, no, it's not right. The best guy.
Okay, let's move on to talk about your pick. Yeah. This is Wolverine and the X-Men, number 35 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Now, I had a real problem with this.
The studio audience loves it.
Studio audience. I had a real problem with this because it was just a wrapping up arc, and there was a lot of talking going on. What did you think about this book, Pete?
This was awesome. To me, like, I was so excited because they've been kind of doing this thing with Brew where you don't know what's going to happen with him. He gets on the ship with an evil guy, and he hasn't been himself in a while. So when he did the, like, cough and then talked, my heart melted.
Yeah.
Wait, when Brew was in a coma, did you want someone to break up with somebody else near him?
Yes, I did. Always.
I think somebody did, actually.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You've just identified a new trope.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. For those of you who haven't read this book.
Brew was in a coma, and then Indy got together, yeah.
This book is great. This is basically a perfect X-Men book if you're not reading it. The art from Nick Bradshaw is awesome. Perfectly matches Jason Aaron's writing, which is fun. It's exciting. It mixes old ideas and new ideas, which is something that I think is intrinsic to writing an X-Men book.
I didn't think he was good at it. Like, he seems like such a great writer of, like, dark things or action, but, like, this really it's been such a pleasant surprise. Yeah.
It's weirdly like he's writing the Claremont book that we all remember but never existed. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have all the Claremont problems.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that Claremont concept
the
that's still in our heads.
The subtotal of his psychic energy, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this book. So right now there's been an evil school to balance out Wolverine's good school, and it's been testing the teachers, it's been testing the students, and it's just a fun idea. I don't know why I've never seen, like, a straight-up villain school in comics before. We've had, like, villain fight clubs, we've had kind of evil schools.
The original Hellions.
The original Hellions, but they were like, oh, we're you know, just very rich.
That
was
how,
why
it.
They were evil.
That
they were just the rich. Yeah. Right?
Well, they were just bad at it.
Yeah, they were bad at it. But this is like bad villains teaching people to be bad villains. And I thought it was very cool. It's fun. Definitely pick this book up. That's it for the stack. I love this book.
What you think of the last page, though?
I like the last page. What happens on the last page? There's a tease of something for, I think it's Dr. Pepper. Oh, you meant the last page of the comic.
Yeah, the last page of the comic, not the
Yeah, what happens, Pete? Tell the listeners at home.
Well, maybe it might be Nightcrawler returning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Would you guys want Nightcrawler to come back? Would you guys want Nightcrawler to come back? Do you like Nightcrawler fans?
I love Nightcrawler, but no.
Oh, why not?
I think he's better defined at this point by the absence.
Whoa.
As a character in the terms of how he interacts with the other characters and how he fit into the team, you kind of get a better sense of him without him there now.
Yeah. Cool. That's kind of like Justin not being here.
Yeah, that's exactly
you
right.
You get a better sense of him if he just stays the fuck away.
Suck on that one, Justin.
Yeah, there we go. You're never going to listen to this podcast. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Tiberius Man.
Ooh, Boothers.
Hey.
Hey, there we go.
I fly a spaceship called the Booth. Right?
That's hit us with some of those questions already, Booth Man.
Okay. What character do you most want to be killed off in a crossover? How about least? And how about an explanation of why? Geez. The geez part was from me.
Okay.
And
wow, that's
oh, an explanation
crazy.
Why they should die.
Or shouldn't.
Okay.
In a crossover.
So who do you guys think should die in a crossover?
Specifically in a crossover?
Yeah.
Yeah, not anywhere else.
Very
just
specific
a crossover.
Question.
So we got to eliminate anybody who wouldn't be in a crossover, first of all.
How about I answer? I can answer the other question about the leap, who I didn't want to die.
Sure.
I was really growing pretty attached to Damian Wayne. They were just
making
him cool.
Yeah, man.
And he was just starting to be, like, you know, the best character in Batman. And then they took him in a book that wasn't supposed to be part of New 52 continuity. killed him, and all of a sudden, everybody in the New 52 gives a shit, and he's dead, and I was fucked up. Bullshit.
I love this guy.
That's all I got.
Yeah. But at the end of Batman Inc., they had a bunch of test tubes filled with baby Damian Wayne, so he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. I just loved him pretending to be Batman.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun.
Or the, great. The issue where he tricked Batman so he could go out and just, like, punch
so
people.
That was so much fun. He's doing the voice and everything.
Oh, it was so great.
Yeah, he was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
What about you guys? A character who should die in a crossover or should not have died?
Specifically in a crossover.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Well,
not in their own title or anybody else's title.
In my epic dance war pitch for Marvel, the 17-part event.
Wait, were there breakdance fighting?
They were, in fact, breakdance fighting.
Awesome. Great.
Civil War, except dancing.
Oh, right.
Wow. Strangely, haven't gotten a call back.
Right. Iron Man wants to sign everybody up for his dance team. Captain America's like, you can't force us to dance your way.
This is
everybody gets served.
Right. Yeah. See, this was my entire idea right there.
Oh, nice.
Love it. I would buy the shit out of that
book. I think Galactus needs to die in that.
Wow. What?
Galactus totally needs to die right there.
If he was going to die, it would be in a dance war.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Right, and Dazzler couldn't.
Yeah, so, I totally agree.
Perfect logic.
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's where Dazzler and Hulk could finally have their second date,
oh,
Pete.
Oh, my God. You shut up, because you'll pitch that.
Yeah, I just
Mel
did.
Fucking
I
made.
Literally just did. Oh, what about you, Nick?
I don't want anyone to die.
Yeah.
I want everyone to live.
Yeah.
It's
less interesting to kill characters off, right? Because it naturally limits their story, what with the death and all. I just feel like I don't want to ruin it, but there's a comic that comes out tomorrow from a certain DC Comics publisher called The Flash 23.1. And there's a bunch of characters that die in there for no reason. Like, they get introduced and they're like, hey, we're back in the New 52. And then they had their heads cut off and put on pikes. And it's like, maybe there were some stories you could have told with
that
them.
Was,
are you that's what you get.
Hilarious, though.
Are you showing off right now that you get books early?
Yeah.
All right, whatever, man.
Yep, there you go.
I read The Flash. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't tell you
learned.
Who. It's The Flash.
I think lesson learned, that's what you get for showing up in the New 52.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Boo.
Come
Pete,
on
what now. About you? Who do you want to see die at a crossover?
Well, I think...
Punisher.
No.
Why is he still alive? He's just a human being.
So in a new Lobo Superior Spider-Man crossover, they kill each other.
By making out or whatever?
I read that book.
Yeah. New Lobo breakdances him in an emo way to death. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
What are you more mad at? So for those of you who don't know, Lobo, character from the 90s, sort of an exaggeration of biker punk aesthetic, totally ridiculous, over the top.
Or
essentially,
spot on, depending on who you ask.
Sure. He's like the Charlie Hunnam of his day, I would say.
I don't know.
Guy from Sons of Anarchy just cast in 50 Shades of Grey, you guys.
Oh.
Read a book!
You mean besides a comic?
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Read a book that for some reason has that information in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was saying.
Who invented Lobo? Was it?
Oh, yeah, Lobo. So Lobo was big, beefy, over-the-top, ridiculous. They recently revealed the real Lobo in the New 52 is a skinny assassin who's hot. So what are you more upset about? Hot, skinny assassin. What?
Where did I miss that? What book did that happen?
It hasn't quite happened yet. They announced it.
Stop showing off.
Oh, no, this was... Read a book!
Sorry.
All right. So,
is there a book about that?
There's a book about a lot of stuff. I'm writing it. It's available on
50
Amazon.
Shades of Lobo.
50 gotcha. Shades of gotcha. Lobo. Okay. Oh, no.
I'd read that.
100%.
Yeah, totally. Well, what are you more mad about? Skinny
superior.
Lobo? Superior?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Raise your hand if you ask that. We're going to give you some free comics.
We
Let's
hope
get the
we
next question.
Answer that for you.
All right.
Ben Affleck, will he be a great Batman or what?
So, I was not here last week. I have to imagine, Pete, you guys discussed Batfleck. What were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, we definitely talked the shit out of it.
What was the general conclusion?
After I kind of got done yelling, Justin was summed me up by saying that I'm setting the bar low so I can be pleasantly surprised.
Oh. What about you guys? Thoughts on Batfleck?
I think he's going to be fine. But, you know, with all of that stuff, nobody's going to
Michael Keaton gave him the okay. That's all I need.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Well, now I feel a lot better about it. No, it just sucks that, like, nobody looks at these movies the way that we look at comics. Every single issue that comes out, it's a new creative team, and it's a different look at these characters. And it sucks that when they redo the Joker, everybody's going to compare him to Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson.
It's because there's...
I get that.
There's less of them, so there's more pressure on each one.
I know. I get it, but it's not fair. It really isn't.
Yeah, and those poor mega billion blockbusters.
Yeah, right? I'm sorry.
Poor guys.
Poor Ben Affleck.
But I mean, he's going
to
be fine.
I need more money to wipe my tears.
Does he have a lot of money, Ben Affleck?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. A shit ton.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
He's got Argo money.
Argo. No, there is Argo money.
Reindeer Games cash.
Yeah, Reindeer Games cash.
What do you know about that Argo money?
I mean, he wrote a... he started a movie called Paychecks where he just got paid to fucking do nothing. I don't know what I'm saying.
What about you guys? Thoughts on...
Honestly, if your biggest concern going into the next iteration, you know, based on Man of Steel, going into another Zack Snyder Superman movie, if your biggest concern is Ben Affleck, you haven't been watching everything else.
He's got a great point.
There's nothing Affleck can do that will make this worse.
Yeah,
famous last
words.
You loved Man of Steel, is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I will say, did you guys see the fan-made trailer? Somebody mashed together footage of Ben Affleck, Batman movies, Man of Steel, and also Bryan Cranston, kind of as Lex Luthor, to make a fan-made trailer with Hans Zimmer's score. It was actually totally awesome, except for Ben Affleck, who was the weak point of the fan-made trailer. So that doesn't give me a lot of hope. I don't know. Nick, do you have any thoughts?
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's going to do okay?
Yeah, he's got the chin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what? People keep talking about that.
Nice jawline.
I'm a huge Batman fan, and I could give a shit about his chin.
I don't know. Yeah, I will say, a lot of people have chins.
Most.
Most, in fact. So there you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
So, Pete, you don't care about chins, but you care about height, right? Because Hugh Jackman is the worst Wolverine because he's tall. Isn't that your reason?
Oh. Yep.
I just wanted to make sure. Thank you for clearing that up.
Thanks, Ben.
Next question. What is the deal?
Wait, was that an actual question?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that to you.
Wait, that was just you to me, or was that
Boots Man is running his own, like,
question. Yeah. He gets free comics.
I wanted to, you know, have a little private conversation, but that wouldn't be, you know.
Boots Man is running a news organization over there while he does our show, and he needs to confirm certain details.
I just feel like if you're going to have someone who's tall, like Hugh Jackman, at least try to shoot him down so it's true to the character, which they did not do at all.
Like when he asks for something, be like, no, you don't get that.
Or, yeah, they could, like, digitally reduce him like a hobbit, right? That's definitely worth their time.
No, just try to fucking shoot down a little bit. It's not that complicated.
Put everyone else on stilts.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
There you go. Get some crazy tall people around him. So that he looks
even
shorter.
Without
like
the hair, he looks
Are you
tall.
Happy,
like
Booth Man? Do you see what you've created?
Here's my question. This is what I don't understand. Why didn't they cast a bunch of people with gigantism in the X-Men movies so that Hugh Jackman looks smaller? I've never gotten that. Why don't we get the question?
What is the deal with accessibility in comics? Why aren't they? Should they be? What would you sacrifice?
A lot of accessibility in comics?
Well, yeah, because there's so much continuity, it's hard for somebody to just pick one up and jump on board.
Oh, okay. I thought they were talking about ramps.
No. There's no ramps, like wheelchair access to a goddamn...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You killed it. You just lost it. I'm glad one person thinks that's hilarious.
Great.
Yeah.
You were saying, Pete?
Well, I'm just saying, the part is you do have to, you know, you would have to make it like a Jonah Hex where it's a one and done each issue. That way it's easy to jump on board. You couldn't do longer arcs or, you know... bigger stories. But it is. I mean, there's so much continuity in comics, it's hard to jump on. That's why we have reboots and, you know, things like the New 52 that we make fun of.
Wait. What was the first comic you read?
It would be the Captain America where it had two Uzis on it, on the cover.
Did you have trouble jumping on?
No.
All right, then.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think probably one of my first issues was like Care Bears number 4, and I was able to jump right in. Yeah. But after that, actually, I did read a bunch of New Mutants and X-Men stuff, and it was like 70 or 80 or 90 or something like that. I don't even remember.
I'm sorry for taking the side of the person who
person. Whoa. How dare you?
What? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry for taking the side of the person who asked the question.
No, no, no. Well, what do you guys think? Is there a problem with accessibility in comics?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I work at a comic book store, and people come in asking for recommendations all the time. And a lot of those people, you know, because of the success of the movies and everything, they want superhero stuff. Right. And sometimes it's not the easiest thing to be like, oh, this 0 year is the greatest thing in the world right now, but we're out of number 21 and 22, which is the jumping out part points. You know, like you can't pick up the next one. I mean, so normally I would point them to independent stuff where I can give them the first trade of Lock and Key or the first trade Saga, stuff like that.
Saga, baby.
I think the best stories being told in the world right now are being told in independent comics.
I do think I agree with your point, Adam, but at the
Except
same
for
time... I do think that there are a lot of comic book writers that make less of an effort now to bring people up to speed in the comic. Yes. That I feel like one of the good things about Chris Claremont, you could pick up any X-Men comic and he would have in the dialogue people bring you up to speed on exactly what's happening.
Okay, I mean that's what Shooter was doing throughout the 80s, was any book could be someone's first. And I think that there is a level where that has to be paid attention to. But when you have, you know, part 5 of 6 and it's on the cover, and someone's like, should I start here? Well, no. Yeah. You start with part 1, you start with the previous storyline. I don't think it's half as bad a problem as we who already know this stuff make it out to be. Because we already know the continuity and we have the weight of it in our heads.
I have a hard time jumping in sometimes. I think I don't read a lot of the recaps on the Marvel books because I actually do think the Marvel writers do a slightly better job of bringing you up to speed in the comic, but it is there if I need it. DC books, sometimes I open the first page and I have no clue what's going on
it
until page 14
sometimes.
Or 15. That recap page is a great tool to have there if you need it.
Is this where I admit that I read almost nothing from DC anymore?
Maybe. I think that's a good
point. I couldn't
just
tell
happened.
You. Yeah.
I caught myself up today on Superman. I don't know why I'm still reading that book. Of all of the Superman titles, Superman's the worst one. And I was like 5 issues behind. I read them all in one sitting, and it might be because I read them all in one sitting, but the recap was so just not natural that it was like, in a trade, this is going to be the worst. Just terrible. And it could it could all be avoided. Mike Allred, when he's putting out Madman, the first page of each Madman issue is little thumbnails of every page of the issue before it. Mm-hmm. Every page, little thumbnails.
Or if you read Empowered by Adam Warren, he does a great job of having the main character recap what's going on in a funny and new way.
Or Deadpool
issue.
With the little mini Deadpool.
Recaps are great.
Right.
Those are fantastic.
The Young Avengers, you know, the little Yambler, like Tumblr joke recaps.
Or you turn it into an Avengers book or anything written by Jonathan Hickman, and there's 6 insane battles that make no sense that recap everything.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Like, don't worry, the Builders are invading Tiakabagaga. You're like, all right, okay,
solve
I guess
this chart.
Sounds good. I'm ready for a good ride. Cool, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Who asked that?
There we go.
What comic character should be the next mayor of New York?
J. Jonah Jameson. He already has the experience. Pete, who do you think? The Punisher?
No.
No. No, we need him out on the streets.
Yeah, we can't.
The mayor of our New York?
You don't put
the
Punisher behind the desk.
Hey, Punisher, turn in the lack of badge and all of your guns.
I think, what's his name? Old one eye there.
Nick Fury?
Nick Fury. Uh-huh. The fact that you knew that is awesome.
Ultimate Nick Fury Jr.
And either the Furies would work, be a great
Literally man. Any of them, interchangeable?
Yep. Well, each one would bring a different thing to the table, but I think, you know, as a whole, they do a good job.
Yeah. Most of them have one eye.
Well, you know, it's just they, you know, Fury in the, you know, well, I'm not going to defend this. This is crazy.
All right. What about you guys? What do you think? Next mayor of New York, superhero, comic book character?
I got almost nothing. Lex Luthor? I don't know. I got nothing.
Don't you think New York City is an evil place?
I don't know.
He would clean up this town.
Yeah, but he was president. Don't you feel like that would be a big step
down?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I guess Captain America was president, too. That'd be a step down. I don't know. I got nothing for that.
Wasn't Ali like a mayor or something in Emerald City or something like that?
Yeah, he was.
Was he good at it?
No. No. How could any superhero be good at ruling or running anything? No, here's what I'll get. Okay. All right.
I don't think you know what a machine?
The Great Machine?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry.
No, but he was bad. He wasn't that good, right?
That guy right there. There it is. I'm sorry.
I just took his shirt off.
And I answered wrong. I'm sorry. My bad.
I don't know, but like, what's his name? Geoforce? Who's like, I'm a king, but I also run around in a costume and have geo powers.
Black Panther.
That's another thing I don't understand. How do you rule an entire country and you're running around in a panther costume most
badly.
Of the time?
Badly.
Aren't you busy?
Black Superman is president.
What?
Black Superman.
Oh, sure, but that was a one-time appearance. Yeah, also, Superman is probably the only one where I'm like, you could probably have the time.
Or Flash.
Yeah, exactly. Robots. Flash, he's also very fast.
Smart robots.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, smart robots. Smart robot. Not stupid robots. He wasn't like, hey, robot, go out and get some groceries. And he was like, duh, boss, I don't know what to do.
Wow.
I'm a Superman robot, duh.
Wow.
I like this, like, Jersey robot.
I was going.
Oh, a beep boop.
Bada beep. Bada boop. Hey.
Oh, error, error.
I'm going to make you a spicy metal pie.
Oh, my God.
Don't just stop.
Stop.
Okay. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. What was that signal, booth man? Oh, that is also a signal for Ted.
Yes.
Great. That's it for your audience questions. Yeah. But before we go, we want, with the audience questions, we want Adam and Nick to pick their favorite audience question because you are going to win the Amelia Cole and the Underworld trade.
I really wish I asked a
by
question.
Adam and Nick.
You didn't tell me I could ask.
No, you're not.
Oh, no. You pick.
Oh, no.
I don't
say
understand.
It at the same time. One, two, three. I love you. Okay.
What just happened?
I don't know. I thought we were going to say a thing at the same time, and
well,
it didn't happen.
I don't feel qualified to answer because some of those questions were about some things I didn't fully understand.
Okay.
Aww.
Well, Adam, what about you?
I feel
then?
Sad.
Favorite question?
I'd say the crossover question.
Crossover. Who asked the crossover question?
Yeah.
There you go. You're getting a copy of the Amelia Cole trade, and that's everyone that's questions for real. And now,
I didn't get to Oprah style last time because I came on the show last time. Our CD just came out, but it had come out digitally, and I didn't have physical copies.
Yeah.
Under all of your seats right now. They're in my backpack. But every single one of you gets a This Good Robot CD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You got a CD. You get a CD.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And in The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, mostly movie casting stuff. This time, there's a lot of movie casting stuff going on. Have you heard about these movies?
Movie casting.
You heard about these movies, Pete?
Yep.
Movies? Kids
weird,
like the movies?
Stuff.
All right, first thing, there's a rumor about Bryan Cranston playing Lex Luthor in Man of Steel 2. He has unconfirmed that rumor, saying, that's the first I've heard about it. He didn't say it like that. He didn't say, that's the first I've...
Oh, wait, so he's not going
to
do it?
Or maybe he is. I'll tell you what. Not to start dropping names, but when I asked Peter Dinklage about playing Bolivar Trask in X-Men, he was like, where did you hear about that? I haven't even read the script yet.
Stop showing off.
Yeah, right?
Literally never. I will never stop showing off. But what do you guys think? Is Bryan Cranston, is he lying? Is he actually going to be Lex Luthor? Do you want to see him as Lex Luthor?
I really hope so. I really hope. Yeah. No, I hope he's not lying. I'm sorry. I really, really hope he's playing Lex Luthor because that would be the best. I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. What are you? You're pretty much against Man of Steel 2 from the start.
Well, but I was all for the idea of until you said Peter Dinklage.
Oh, Peter
now
Dinklage
he is the only Lex Luthor in my head.
Ah.
Oh my God, how awesome would that be?
See?
Holy shit. Yeah. You just blew my mind.
Yeah. What about you, Nick? Any
thoughts? I'd love it. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah. And Pete?
I mean, it's a win-win. If it's Cranston or Dinklage.
Brian Cranston gets money. We get to watch him. Yeah. Win-win.
So I just, you know, what's great is neither one of these are making me angry, so I'm all about it.
Let's confirm the rumor here on Comic Book Club Live now that Peter Dinklage is playing Lex Luthor in the next Man.
There you go. Yep. That's confirmed. Can we go to Boothman for the fact check?
Correct.
All right. There you go. Peter Dinklage officially playing Lex Luthor in Man of Steel 2.
The funny part is we found out that Comic Book Club confirmed Ben Affleck as Batman when we were doing the Boston show. We were doing bits about it, but we were actually correct on it.
Were we?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
How about that?
Good for us. Cool.
So
all right.
This bit will come true.
It might. It definitely won't, but it might. next thing, a little bit of actually confirmed casting news. Bradley Cooper is going to be the voice of Rocket Raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy. So what do you guys want to think? Do you want to see?
You all right, buddy? Hang in there.
Okay. Bradley Cooper is Rocket Raccoon. What do you guys think?
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect.
Why do you guys think it's perfect? I'm curious.
Because well,
I
just
can't
because when
my
you think
it.
About a raccoon's voice, and then you think about Bradley Cooper, that just melds together perfectly.
Sure.
He's got the right. He's got a raccoon-shaped face.
Oh, that's true. I remember watching Alias back in the day, and I was like, whoa, what's that raccoon doing on my television?
Right.
And then it turned out to be Bradley Cooper.
Right. Yeah. And so now it's all coming back around.
Totally. What do you
it's
guys
It's a circle
think?
Of life.
He'll do fine. He's the voice of a raccoon.
Correct.
Wow. Was there a better choice there? That's the question. Was there somebody you would have rather had as Rocket Raccoon?
When I heard that Michael Rooker was going to be in the movie, I was super excited. I thought he was going to be Rocket Raccoon. I thought that was great. But then they did the same thing with Benicio del Toro. I thought he was going to be Thanos, and I flipped the fuck out, and then that's not true.
You're holding back a little bit.
No, I think it's going to be great either way. It's fine. I thought Michael Rooker would have been a pretty awesome.
Interestingly, they recently said that Thanos is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy quite a bit.
Really?
The specific quote was more than a turn and a grin, which is what he did in Avengers, that
like
he will
a hand wave.
Yeah, a hand wave, two turns, five grins, something like that.
Jazz hand.
Yeah. I'll take it.
So the question is, if he's talking, maybe we're going to find out who actually is playing Thanos. If he's going to be all CGI, what's going to go on with him?
How much do you think Vin Diesel's going to get paid for saying Groot over and over again?
A lot.
Like on, a right? sandwich, maybe? Yeah.
I'll only do Fast and the Furious 6 and 7 if you give me 2 sandwiches.
How much time do you think he's going to spend in studio? I pray to God that on the DVD that there is just the entire session with Vin Diesel in studio. And just, now can you do it like this, Vin Diesel? Now can you do it like that, Vin Diesel?
I want an hour of outtakes of him flubbing it.
Yeah.
I am Groot. I am Groot.
I want the producers to always call him Vin Diesel.
No,
listen,
it's
Vin Diesel.
No, Vin Diesel. Here's what we need, Vin Diesel.
Cool. Another little bit of casting news. James Spader is Ultron in Avengers, Age of Ultron 2. So the question is, I haven't seen this confirmed anywhere. Is he going to just do the voice, I assume, and not be like, Ultron?
No, he's going to be naked except for a little cloud mist around his privates.
Oh, yeah?
That's why I'm seeing
around his privates?
Yeah, around his privates.
Cool. I like that you gestured to your male nipples as privates.
He considers his nipples his private.
Yeah.
I was away when that happened, so I was pretty surprised when I came back. Were people upset about it? Were they excited about James Spader as Ultron?
Yes.
Okay. One guy in the audience is excited about James Spader as Ultron.
Yeah, I don't remember anyone being upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was people pretty cool with it.
Yeah, it's a weird like choice, though, right?
Yeah, but for a villain, I feel like he's a good fit because he seems kind of like a messed up dude.
Sure, but I guess, I don't know. When
not
I,
real life, I'm just saying.
When
like,
I pictured the voice of Ultron, I don't know if I pictured the guy from Secretary. Was the first thing that came to mind.
Wow.
Well, we wouldn't be comic book nerds if we didn't start out bitter about every bit of news before we jumped on board.
Right.
So.
Sure.
But, yeah, that is. I didn't hear anything negative either.
All right. Last thing, another rumor that's come out today. Benedict Cumberbatch may be in the new Star Wars. So what do you guys think about that, and what do you want to see him play if that's true?
Khan. Yeah, Khan.
Khan.
I fucking love him. I think he's great. I don't know, because when is the next Star Wars supposed to even take place? It's supposed to be like... It's supposed to be the
future,
right? It's supposed
to be after.
Before,
yeah.
Yeah, well...
so these are these new
they
characters?
They haven't said anything about it. Han, Leia, and Luke reportedly are in the movie. It takes place like 30 years or so after the last one.
I hope he plays the main character.
Yeah.
We get as much of him as possible.
How about Yoda's, like, bastard child?
That would be awesome, too.
Yeah. Would you have a problem if Benedict Cumberbatch played Yoda's son? He's very tall for that role, Pete.
Yeah, that wouldn't make me happy.
All right, cool.
Well, you know, Yoda and a Wookiee.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd watch him as a Wookiee.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of
Chewbacca
nice.
Was a girl the whole time? That would be kind of interesting.
They could waste his pretty face and make him C-3PO or something.
Totally.
His pretty face, huh?
He's very dreamy.
Apparently.
He is.
Have you ever checked out Tom?
Oh, I like him.
And that's it for the Week of Geek. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section is trivia, which is Pete LePage's department.
Yes, it is. Welcome to our department. Guys, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. By the way, we love what you've done with your hair. It looks amazing. This is the part where you get to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simple. Yes, you first hand up guy. Come on up here.
Awesome.
$25.
First hand up guy.
First hand up guy. Come on, jump up on stage here with you. What is your name, first hand up guy?
Andrew.
Andrew, audience, Andrew.
Andrew.
Hey. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you win $25.
All right.
Here we go. Question number one. Oh, this is on comics that came out this week, so as long as you read everything, you'll be fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Boothman. In Batman Superman number 3, who is not in this issue? Is it A, Wonder Woman, B, Lois Lane, or C, Stewie Griffin? This should be pretty obvious, bro. Go with C.
Oh, C.
Yes, Stewie Griffin is correct. He is not in the issue of Batman Superman number 3. Yeah! Here we go. In Deadpool number 15, which was amazing. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Who is in this issue? Is it A, the Hulk, B, Captain America, or is it C, Lemon Pledge?
B.
B is correct, Captain America. Didn't even need to help him on that one. All right, here we go. Last question. Here we go. In the humorous comic, Larfrees number 3. Yeah, trying to go out a little bit of the regular comic. Here we see Larfrees and his butler, Blank. What is his butler's name? Is it A, Stargrave, B, Moon Tomb, or is it C, Ernie the Giant Chicken? So it's either A.
A.
Yeah! $25 free. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Unbelievable, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
There's a lot of great stuff coming out, but I am kind of excited for Forever Evil number 1.
Forever Evil number 1?
Yeah.
So are you doing all of Villains Month?
My what?
Are you like jumping on with Villains Month? You're doing all of it or just the
Villains
6
Month I feel like is kind of a cheap thing to get people to read comics.
Yeah.
But this is Geoff Johns kind of baby a little bit.
Did you like Trinity?
Nope.
Okay.
But I'm going to... Geoff Johns is an amazing writer. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to check out Forever Evil number 1.
All right. Awesome.
All right. There we go. I'm looking forward to The Star Wars number 1 is coming out from Dark Horse.
Star Wars?
Yeah, The Star Wars. Here, have you heard about this?
It's not just Star Wars number
1? No, it's The Star Wars. It is a
comic book.
It is an 8-part comic book adaptation of George Lucas's original script for Star Wars.
Wow.
So everything is ever so slightly different in a weird way. So there's Luke Starkiller. Darth Vader is a regular human guy. It sounds really weird
and
very, very interesting.
Awful.
All I've heard about that original script is that it's awful.
Yes. According to the press people at Dark Horse, it gets really weird. So I'm pretty
really?
Excited.
So they changed it for a reason is what you're saying.
What?
They changed it for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. And now they made it into a comic, and it's going to be awesome.
Fantastic.
Nick, what are you looking forward to?
Is the new Infinity out tomorrow? The second
it
part?
It is. Yeah, so yeah.
I'm going to get that.
Cool. And Adam, what about you?
X-Factor.
Excellent.
Slowly wrapping up a chapter.
Oh, man.
Is this
yeah,
the,
it's the last issue?
I think it's
yeah.
the last issue, yeah. issue of X-Factor.
Whew. Peter Tear. David did a hell of a job on
I'm
going to
wipe off my
thing.
Tears with money right now. Plug your stuff, guys. What should they check out?
Amelia Cole in the Unknown World.
Yes.
The trade paperback.
I gotta just say, like, geeking out a little bit about that paperback. You were talking a little bit about how much you love, like, just the actual comic. And I've had to go digital just because my place is being eaten alive by comics. But just, like, opening up and smelling it was so enjoyable.
That's me. That's the smell of me.
You smell fantastic, sir.
Thanks.
Is that your review of their book, that it smells good?
No, I just... There was just... It's been
we'll
so long
it.
Since...
Good
you know,
review. Yeah.
We have no issue with that.
There was nothing negative about that review whatsoever.
No.
Cool.
Actually, me and Nick will be at Hanley's with JHU Books on Thursday.
Oh, nice.
And Baltimore Comic Con all weekend with books and art and all sorts of madness.
Sketching. Awesome.
Cool.
You'll be sketching.
Michael, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I can't wait to read the second issue of Trillium. I think it by Jeff Lemire.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was like the best thing that came out this year so far.
Oh.
I loved it. Bought three originals from it already because I loved it so much.
Cool. Yeah. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Download Super Spy for free. It's our new single. It's on thisgoodrobot.com. That's This Good Robot, not Disco Robot. I mumble. Thisgoodrobot.com. At This Good Robot on Twitter. At This Good Idiot. That's me. And check out our podcast, This Good Podcast, on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Awesome. Cool, man. Cool. Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, writer Fred Van Lente is coming back to the show. Mostly to talk about his Dark Horse stuff. He's been doing an awesome comic book called Brain Boy. He's doing an upcoming run on Conan. So that should be a lot of fun. And comedian Margaret Lyons is going to be here.
Yeah.
Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep. Check us out at Comic Book Live, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, check out our movie show, Best Summer.
Biggest.
Biggest Summer Ever.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Biggest Summer Ever on youtube.com/nerdist. Last one that we reviewed was The World's End. And we should have Riddick coming up soon, so should be fun. Also, we want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. A couple of other people we want to thank. We want to thank Nick for being on the show.
Thank you.
We want to thank Adam.
Thank
we want to thank Michael.
Thank you so much.
We also want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Also, we want to thank Booth Man. Hi, thanks, Rev. And we're going to leave you guys with This Good Robot's Super Spy. So enjoy.